Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. Mr. Wonderful. That's what they call me around here, especially when I'm all alone. And I'm glad you're here. We got our good friend Ed Kauf back on the show. Ed is a partner with David Gage. And it's interesting that I would use that word because that's the business they're in. They're in the business of being of helping people with partnerships with families and that are partners, and also just partners who are partners, and helping small business owners who have those kinds of extended ownership situations, help them to operate better and help them to dissolve their organizations better. And he's our good friend Ed Kauf. Welcome back to the show.
Well, it's good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. You know, Ed, I've had partnerships, and some work, and some don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have talked about this. David Gage, your partner, and I have talked about this, and we've talked about it with other folks. Partnerships in business can be tricky, whether it's a partnership or whether it's not a partnership, dissolving the company, letting the company go to someone else, exiting the company, whatever term you want to use, that's another part of the business that a lot of people don't spend a lot of time on. But ultimately, we're all going to do it, aren't we?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons we get in business is for the pleasure of running it and the excitement,
right?
And the near term reward,
the sheer thrill of making payroll every Friday, right?
That's right. but most of us have a long term goal too when we get into the business, and toward the end, it's important to be able to look back and say to yourself, "I achieved that.
I did it my way."
That's right. and those goals, even whether you're partners or individual, those can vary a lot. I mean, we'll see folks. We help people get started in business the right way so that they won't end up on the wrong track. And
right.
When we talk to them about what they want, we hear all sorts of things. Well, we hear from people who want to work 10 years and then retire. Their whole goal is to build that business up quickly and then sell it.
Well, but most people, when they're excited about the business, most people don't really want to spend a lot of time talking about a potential divorce or a potential, exit. It's hard. If you're a true entrepreneur, you're a true founder, and you're a real, you love this life, as you say, Ed, it's rough, especially for guys, I think. It may be tougher for guys to think about not being here, not doing this anymore.
I think that's
it's hard. And in your business, is it hard to get people to focus on that?
It is until they are getting close to it, and then they realize that they're not prepared for that end.
Yeah.
And, if they're looking towards whether it's a quick in and out with money or whether it's being able to do a gradual retirement where they'll die in the saddle, which so many of us want to do.
Oh, yeah.
But where we need some help at the end to keep the enterprise moving as we ease back off and spend more time on the golf course. Or whether it's handing the business over to the family. As people get toward the end, they look and they say, have I really done what I needed to do so that I could accomplish at the end of this game what it was that I set out to do at the beginning?
And I've watched plenty of families make the transition. I've seen it happen when it was absolutely a thing of beauty,
mm-hmm.
and then I've seen it happen where it was a catastrophe. And it's what you guys call, as the old movie title goes, the good, the bad, and the ugly of exit strategies.
Absolutely. The good almost always involves planning well ahead. Let's take that family scenario.
Yeah.
That's really a matter of preparing your children, preparing that next generation for decades. in order to have them with the enthusiasm and the skills and the personalities that are going to allow them to take over that business and move it forward. You can't start that at the last minute.
And that is not easy because in front of that, all that you just said, is the whole family dynamic, which can sure muck up the whole transition, can it?
Absolutely. And sometimes it really means recognizing early enough on that your family just isn't suited to be a multi-generational family in business.
Or primogeniture is not going to be the name of the game for you. It may not be the oldest male child. It may be the third daughter or something like that. Hold on to that thought. I actually know a case like that, by the way, that was the third daughter. Stand by. Quick break. 20 till. Ed Kopf is our guest, and we're talking about exit strategies. Your exit strategy. You're going to have one eventually. 20 till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for going there and checking it out, using it to your advantage. We've got lots of stuff there that will help you start, run, grow your small business, and even exit it if you have to. That's what we're talking about with our good friend Ed Kopf. By the way, on the homepage there, you can subscribe to my newsletter. You can check out the blog. You can check out the knowledge base. And also, we have our poll question that we have every week now on the homepage. This week's poll question is on the economy. How is the economy looking to you right now? We have three options that you can choose from. And when you click on your answer and submit it, you'll be able to see exactly how the survey is going so far, including with your vote. So check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Ed Kopf is with us. He's a co-founder of BMC Associates. Our buddy David Gage is his partner. David's been with us many times over the years. We're talking about exit strategies, and we were just talking a minute ago, exit strategy meaning as in when you leave your company, either feet first or going out with a sack of money or bequeathing it to your children and watching them take it to the next level. Whatever. There are a lot of different variations, aren't there, Ed?
There are. And you know, in most of them, since few of us live forever, most of them involve having someone else to take that business over, whether it's your blood family, whether it's a younger partner. By the way, we see with professionals and dentists and so many others sort of go out and adopt a younger partner who'll be there to take it over.
And make those payments.
That's right.
keep you, as you say, keep you on the golf course in your salad days.
Exactly. But in a lot of situations, it involves having a partner who can carry it on into that next generation. But I think you mentioned a little earlier, Jim, having a partner can be risky, too, because sometimes it doesn't work out.
Right.
And that's where, rather than a good outcome, you could wind up with an ugly one.
Yeah.
Where everything that's been built up over the years winds up getting eaten up with legal fees and psychiatrist fees and what have you, as you struggle with that partner over a business that you'd hoped the partner was going to help take into the future.
My experience, Ed, I want to get your thoughts on this. My experience is that people spend too much time thinking about how the financial part's going to work when they bring in partners and not enough on the compatible values. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the values are at the very core. If those aren't in line with one another, you've got a potential.
Give us an example of when you think of values, what do you think about?
Well, one of the most important is simply the work ethic as a value.
Yeah.
A lot of founding entrepreneurs, well, there's nothing more important in their life than that work ethic.
Right.
And then they bring on a talented person with experience in the business, but they didn't notice that person hasn't had to struggle the way they have.
They're not committed. And they don't understand the concept of commitment, do they?
That's right. It's the old story of the chicken and the pig.
That's right.
At that early stage, we think at BMC it's really important that there be an appropriate buy-sell. If that buy-sell is the way, a buy-sell agreement where if at some point one of you wants to get out, there's an orderly way to get out
right.
without destroying the business.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing is that the vast majority of entrepreneurial partners don't have any buy-sell.
Right.
And those that do have one usually have a boilerplate version that doesn't serve them well. So one of the first things we urge people to do, even before they figure out the economics and the rest of their relationship as they form a partnership, is make sure they understand how they can get out of it without destroying everything that's been built up.
And that takes takes artful documentation and understanding between everybody, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it depends very much on the circumstances. In
mm-hmm.
some cases, the best thing to plan for would be to divide up. We've worked with graphic design firms, for example, where you actually can plan to divide up the clients and the accounts and what have you if you ever have to break up. And in other cases, it might mean carefully planning for the financing of a buyout over a period of many years, sometimes financed out of the cash flow of the business. But one way or the other, it's got to be practical, it's got to be realistic, and everybody from the beginning has to feel it's going to be fair.
And another thing to remember, Ed, and we've talked about this before, and that is that just because you, one of the reasons why you need the paperwork, you know, you and your partner may be so compatible, you and your partner may be so happy, your values are completely aligned, et cetera, and in truth is you'll never have a crossword. But then that partner drops dead or that partner gets divorced, and now all of a sudden your partner's with their family, with their ex-wife or their children and or grandchildren or whatever. And those people, you didn't vet their values when you started this business with your partner. And so that's the reason the documentation is so important, isn't it?
Absolutely. It isn't just a question of a handshake. It's a question of getting it all down on paper and in detail. But again,
we've been talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Do you have an ugly story to tell us that maybe would shock a few folks into taking some steps?
Well, one example is clients we worked with not that long ago in the automobile industry. And those were two brothers who, in fact, took over the business from their father and never expected that what would happen to that industry, what has happened to
right.
it, would happen.
In the last 2 years, for example.
Yeah.
Ed, hold on to that thought. I'm gonna let you tell us the rest of that story after these messages. You did that perfectly. We got this cliffhanger going on now.
Okay.
They're not leaving us now, Ed, for anything. Quick break, Tin Tail. Ed, give us the website, please, before we go.
It's www.bmcassociates.com.
BMCAssociates.com. That's where Ed Kopp and David Gage both hang out. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We're having a great visit with Ed Kopp. He's teaching us about the good, the bad, and the ugly of exit strategies. That's when you leave your business. Feet first, with a sack full of money, or otherwise. The good, the bad, and the ugly of you divesting one way or the other of your business. And I was just having Ed tell us about a story that was kind of an unfortunate story. And Ed, you were telling us it's about a family-owned automobile industry that had been taken over by the sons, and you were telling us about that.
Yeah, and they had 10, 12 very good years, and then the car business in the U.S., especially for the domestic dealers, began to go downhill. Among their dealerships, the primary dealerships were GM and Ford. And as soon as the pie got smaller,
so they had more than they had
multiple
franchises
dealerships. Yeah.
Yeah.
And as the pie got smaller, a lot of goodwill began seeping out of that, and there were all of a sudden memories of rivalry on the football field from teenage and college years came up, and it became very difficult for these brothers to just talk to each other. By the time we got involved with them, they were only emailing each other.
Wow.
And that was beginning to become infrequent.
Wow.
We were co-owners of a business.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, they really had to split up this inheritance. One took the Ford side, the other took the GM side. And even there, the argument over who would get the name became very bitter, and the family fell apart.
Wow.
And the businesses, with the attention when they most needed attention to the business, the attention being diverted to these battles, each of the businesses suffered.
And what a terrible legacy for that founder.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, here's a guy who built a business up, gave it to his sons. I don't know whether they ever had to struggle or not, but then for that to all fall apart like that and turn each other against, was the father still alive?
The only good thing about this is that he had passed away.
So he didn't have to see all this. That's the only good thing. Yeah. So what could they have done? Let's do a postmortem on this. What could they have done? You know, let's do some forensics on this, I guess I should say. What could they have done back, you know, a few years earlier to fix this?
Well, one of their greatest problems was they had no buy-sell agreement whatsoever.
No documents at all.
Right. They didn't have any ideas, and they certainly never had documented them.
Right.
And we spent quite a long time with them figuring out how they would manage to split the business. Because, you know, each thought one dealership was worth more than the other. Eventually, again, they did manage to split the business, but if they'd had an agreement up front, Before they knew which side they were each going to be on, but they were just trying to figure out what would be fair if we have to split this up, would have been much smoother, mm-hmm. and the animosities would have been much milder.
But Ed, when things are going great, nobody wants to talk about that. Isn't that part of the problem? I mean, nobody wants to say, well, why would I talk about a divorce when we're happy?
Well, that's right. That's why I never wanted to be a cemetery plot sale. Because no one wants to talk to you
that's
about
right.
all of that.
That's right.
And that's what we're out there doing. We're not selling cemetery plots because there are good as well as ugly ways to end these businesses up. If there weren't, none of us would go into business.
But you should. I mean, it's just realism. It's just saying, okay, guys, you guys are happy right now, but why don't we just make sure that we document some things that in the eventuality that this happens or that happens that nobody could have foreseen, that we got it covered and we've talked about it in advance. We've been mature adults about this. It's a healthy way to think about things. Let's get this documented, and then we don't have to think about it anymore.
Exactly. We just finished working with a couple of hedge fund managers who wanted to combine their businesses. And they were wise enough to spend some time saying, you know, what happens if the market goes bad? What happens if we don't love each other as much as
right.
we think we do? And they have now figured out and documented exactly how they'd end their joint venture so that they could each go on
right.
And have a successful individual operation.
Mm-hmm. And how long did that take? How long did that process take, Ed?
That part of their planning took a couple of hours.
Really?
And down the line, it was part of a 3-day long process.
Yeah, but I mean, your work with them took a few days.
A few days, and
yeah.
planning for the end game, the exit
yeah.
strategy, took a couple hours. And
yeah.
that
wow.
saved them, in this case, millions.
That's not very much of an investment. Of time. Hey, Ed, give us the website again, please.
It's www.bmcassociates.com.
And that's what Ed and David Gage, his partner, do to help these folks like doing what we just talked about. Ed, thanks for being here. Good job today.
It was great, Jim. Thanks.
Enjoyed it.
Having.
See you next time. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.